the Lord's help, we want to consider this lesser known individual that we meet with in Scripture, this man called Simeon. And our text for this morning is Luke chapter 2, and the verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Christ child was approximately 6 weeks old when Mary and Joseph brought him into the temple there in Jerusalem. We know that from what is written in the verse 22. Look there in verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses. In Leviticus 12, verses 2 through to 6, we read there that the days of Mary's purification would have been approximately 40 days. So it was after 40 days that Mary and Joseph brought the Christ child into the temple. And they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Here we learn something very special. Very special, first of all, about the parents of Christ, the earthly parents of Christ, Mary and Joseph. I say very special because I see just how they lived and how careful they were to follow and obey the law of the Lord. If you look there in verse 22, we're told, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Not before that, not after, but according to the law. Verse 23, as it is written in the law. Look at verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. Go down to verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. So here we are told something very special about Joseph and Mary, that they lived a life according to the law of God. In other words, they obeyed the word of God. That's how they lived. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And the Lord ordered the steps of Mary and Joseph, and they obeyed God's word. What a wonderful example for all parents to follow. And here Mary and Joseph lived in accordance to the law of the Lord, to the word of God. As well as the parents of Christ, we learn here about the presentation of Christ. That's what we read in verse 22. That when those days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. There's the presentation of Christ. And then the law is mentioned again in verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now those words, every male that openeth the womb, refers to the firstborn in a family. And of course, since Christ was the firstborn of Mary, he was presented to the Lord and was called holy to the Lord. The word holy is a word that means sanctify. Sanctify, set apart. When someone is sanctified, they are set apart. They don't live according to the world. They're sanctified. For us, we are made holy. But of course, Christ was born holy. As I say, the word holy means sanctify. And the law referred to here is found in Exodus 13. And there in Exodus 13 and verse 2 we read, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb," you see there's the connection. "The firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine." And so Christ being the firstborn, and we are told he was holy, sanctified. He was sanctified, set apart for holy use. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus, we're told, is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He's a sanctified Savior. He is holy. He's set apart for holy use. And the Lord was brought into the temple that day, according to the law, by Mary and Joseph, and presented to God as one who was holy and set apart for the use of God. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He was set apart to redeem his people. And only Christ can redeem his people. Christ alone. As well as the parents of Christ and the presentation of Christ, we see also here something about the poverty of Christ. We say poverty because the Christ child was born into a very humble and a poor home. We know that from the verse 24. Verse 24, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." When the firstborn in a home was brought to the temple to be presented to the Lord, a sacrifice was to be offered to the Lord. That sacrifice was to be a lamb. But here we find that Mary and Joseph didn't bring a lamb. They brought two turtle doves. Turn with me, please, to Leviticus. And to Leviticus, in the chapter 12. For there we see in Leviticus chapter 12, the turtle doves are mentioned. Leviticus 12 and verse 8. "And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then," that is the mother of the child, "then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean." So we see there from the law of God, the mother was to bring a lamb when she brought her firstborn to the temple to present him to the Lord. And if she couldn't afford a lamb, she brought two turtle doves. And what do we read here? In Luke chapter 2 and verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That tells me that the home that Christ was born into was a very poor home, because they couldn't afford a lamb. The best that they could do was to bring two turtle doves. And this shows us the poverty into which Christ was born, reminding us of the words of Paul. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich." And Christ came into the world, was born into a poor home. And he who was rich became poor, that we through him might be made rich. And we all know, having life eternal through Christ, we are richer than millionaires. We have what millionaires cannot buy. We have eternal life. But wait, when you think of it, yes, Mary brought two turtle doves, but Mary really did bring a lamb, because she held in her bosom and held in her arms the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. She did bring a lamb in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, by way of introduction, we have considered the parents of Christ, the presentation of Christ, and the poverty of Christ. And that introduces us now to the prophet and Christ. The prophet, namely Simeon. The prophet Mary and Joseph met when they came to the temple to present the Christ child was a man by the name of Simeon. We read about him there in the verse 25, our text. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." What wonderful things are said about this man, Simeon, in one verse. And from what we are told about him, about this man, Simeon, he lived a Christ-centered, Christ-focused life. All that we know about Simeon is here in 11 verses. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the scriptures. Only here in Luke chapter 2. So let us look at this lesser known individual that we meet with in scripture. We'll be looking at him today, and Lord willing, again next week. There's so much here about him. But I want us first of all to consider Simeon and his witness. Simeon and his witness. Here is a man that we do not meet with again anywhere in Scripture. In fact, in the 11 verses we read, his name is only mentioned twice. And when you think of it, two in Bible numbers is the number of witnesses. He's only mentioned twice. Verse 25, verse 34. His name, as I said, is only mentioned twice, and we're not told anything more about him other than what is written here. But the Holy Spirit, the author of this book, wants us to give attention to him. It would be easy for us when we come to read Luke chapter 22, or Luke chapter 2, be easy for us to read through those verses and hardly pause to think about this man, Simeon, to consider him. He's only mentioned, as I say, twice. And there's only 11 verses written about him. It would be easy just to read through those 11 verses and hardly stop to consider him. But the Holy Ghost wants us to consider him. The Holy Spirit draws our attention to him. Look at how verse 25 begins. Here we're introduced to Simeon, and see how we're introduced to him. And behold. So the Holy Ghost, the author of the book, says, behold. There was a man in Jerusalem. Behold. Whenever we come to a behold in Scripture, that means God wants us to pay particular attention to what follows. And here we read, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Behold, take notice, give attention to this man called Simeon. Behold, the Lord says. What does he want us to behold? First of all, we see here Simeon and his character. Simeon and his character. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That was his witness in Jerusalem. Behold, there was a man. And now we're given, in this verse 25, told something about his character. Do you notice? God didn't say, the Holy Spirit didn't say, behold, there's a man in Jerusalem. Behold his possessions. He didn't say, behold his position. He didn't say, behold his power or behold his popularity. No. None of those things does the Lord want us to pay attention to. But he does want us to pay attention to his piety. Behold this man's piety. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. There we're told something about his surroundings. His surroundings. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. There's his surroundings. He lived in the city of Jerusalem. It is obvious that the Holy Ghost wants us to give attention to this fact. It doesn't just say, behold, there was a man. But we read there was a man in Jerusalem. Attention is given to his surroundings. And in Jerusalem, he was just, he was devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's what is said about this man, Simeon, as he lived in Jerusalem. That would not have been a very easy for that man to live a pious, separated life in the city of Jerusalem, in such surroundings. Religion in Jerusalem at that time of the Savior's birth was at a very, very low ebb. Very much so. Pharisees and Sadducees held sway with the religious people. And we know all about the Pharisees. How often the Lord rebuked them for their hypocrisy and their misinterpretation of the scriptures and the burdens that they put on people. So it would not have been easy for Simeon to live this life in the city of Jerusalem. He lived a life that was separated unto God. As God would have all of his blood-bought people to live. We're not of the world. We're certainly in the world. But we're not to be off the world. And Simeon's life was not influenced in any way by what was going on around him. We're told that, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. So he wasn't influenced by the false religionists that was in the city of Jerusalem at that time. He was not influenced by city life. He was not influenced by the ways of the ungodly, the worldly person. No. He was just. He was devout. He was just and he was devout. That's how the Lord wants us to live, believer. So many professing believers, we all know they follow the fashions of the world. They follow the follies of the world. But we're to be just and devout, separated unto God. As Simeon was. You turn over to James. James chapter 4. James 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Think about that. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You're placing yourself as the enemy of God. Is enmity with God, whosoever, doesn't matter who it is, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And that's God's word. So we ought to live in accordance with God's word, just as Mary and Joseph did. And just as Simeon lived. That's how we are to live. Doesn't matter what our surroundings may be. God expects us to live for him by his grace. So we have considered his surroundings. We see what he was, not only in his surroundings, but what he was socially. Attention is drawn to the fact that he was just. Behold, there was a man named in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just. That refers to how he dealt with his fellow man. That speaks to us of how he dealt with those who were around him, wherever he lived in Jerusalem. He dealt with his neighbors, his fellow man, he did so justly. He was just. He treated his fellow man with integrity and uprightness. He was not dishonest. He didn't try and deceive. He didn't lie or seek to cheat anyone. Simeon was recognized as a just man. Any who would have appreciated a man who lived like that would have pointed him out. There's that man, Simeon. He's an honest man. He's a just man. He's a fair man. He's a good man to deal with. And when you think of Simeon being just, it reminds us of Christ. Christ was just. You remember what Pilate's wife said to her husband as he sat in judgment on Christ? She came to him and she says, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things in the dream this night because of him. Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Christ is just. And here we read about Simeon, and he was just. So you look at Simeon, and what was he? He was a Christ-like man. And today and next week, Lord willing, as we look at Simeon, you will see just how he was focused on Christ. How his whole life was taken up with the Lord Jesus. He was a just man. And in spite of his surroundings, there in the city of Jerusalem, Simeon was a Christ-like individual. So we're told that Simeon, what he was in his surroundings, and what he was socially. We see also what he was spiritually. He was not only just, the Holy Ghost records, he was devout. He was devout. The word devout there means literally to take hold of something. And he was a man who laid hold on God. He was a man who laid hold on God's word and God's commandment and God's claims. If you like, Simeon was sold out to God. He was devout. People today talk about someone being a devout Catholic or a devout communist. Well, here was a man who was devout, sold out to God. Remember again, remember his surroundings. Remember where he lived. He was devout. Nothing that was going on around him in the city would cause him to deviate, to turn away from his Lord or his devotion. He was devout, devoted to God, and his behavior did not betray his profession. His behavior in the city did not betray what he professed to be. In other words, Simeon's life was consistent with his profession. He was just. He dealt justly with those who were around him, and he was devout. Devoted to his God. He lived a consistent life. It's one thing for someone to say, "Oh, I love the Lord and I'm a Christian." And then for that individual to live like a worldling amongst his fellow men. And oh, when I was in secular employment, I would hear people say that before I was saved. I would hear people say, see that boy over there? He says he's a Christian, but you want to hear his language. You want to hear the things he says. You want to see the things he does. In other words, his testimony wasn't worth that amongst his fellow man. He wasn't living a consistent life. He professed one thing, but he practiced another. That was not Simeon. Simeon was just and devout. He lived right amongst his fellow man. He dealt with them properly, honestly. Didn't try to cheat anybody. He lived a consistent life. He was consistent in how he lived. That's how we're to live. We'll not win anyone for the Lord if we don't live a consistent life. So we have considered then, regarding his witness, we'll consider his character. Let us next consider his contemplation. We're told in their text, in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. There's his contemplation. His mind, his thoughts were basically only one thing: the consolation of Israel. You say, well, what does that mean? The consolation of Israel was applied to the Messiah by the Jews. When they talked about the consolation of Israel, they were talking about the coming Messiah. And the Jews would be looking for the consolation of Israel. And here was Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for Christ. He obviously knew what the scriptures taught about the coming Messiah. And here is Simeon, and if you like, he's watching and he's waiting for the coming Christ. The word waiting, there is a word that means to wait, looking towards. It wasn't just, as it were, an idle waiting just to pass the time. He was waiting and looking towards the coming of the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. Simeon, as we will see in our study, was completely absorbed with Christ. What a testimony this man had. How focused he was on the Lord, in the Lord Jesus. Completely taken up with him. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that tells me he was waiting, looking towards. That tells me that Simeon would awaken every day and say to himself, maybe today the Messiah will come. Maybe this is the day that Messiah will appear. Or maybe tomorrow. That's how he lived. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Do we live that way? The Lord tells us he's coming back again. I wonder when it'll be. We are to be like Simeon. The Lord expects us to be looking for his return. That's how the Lord expects us to live each day. Go over in Luke's Gospel to chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now we read in verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Be ready, in other words. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait, just like some men, that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. They've been waiting for him. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verse 36, waiting. Verse 37, watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. They'll be well rewarded. But look at verse 40. Be ye therefore, in light of what I've just said, the Lord is saying. I've just talked about the Lord returning home from the wedding and knocking at the door. And the Lord says, you need to be ready and open the door immediately. Be ready, waiting for your Lord to return. Now he says, be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And how true that is. If I were to say, maybe the Lord will come tomorrow, there would be some who would say, well, I don't think he'll come tomorrow. But sure, it's not what the Lord said. In an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so that's, we can see there in those words of the Savior, the Lord wants us to be watching and waiting for his return, and wants us to live each day watching and waiting for the Lord to return. That's how Simeon lived. That's what we're told. He was waiting. He was looking towards the day that the Messiah would come. And how we need to live as Simeon lived. That we would be looking and watching and waiting for the consolation of Israel, for our dear Savior. And when Mary and Joseph entered the temple that day, he met the Christ child. He met the one he had been watching and waiting for, the consolation of Israel. He was ready for them. How many here would be ready for the Lord's return? If the Lord was to come tomorrow, if the Lord was to come this incoming week, how many would be ready? Two will be in a field, one taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at a mill, one taken, the other left. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's good to be ready. We notice also not only his character, his contemplation, but notice his communications. Here is something more that is written about Simeon. We're told the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 25 again. The Holy Ghost was upon him. So what have we learned? We have learned that he was just. We have learned that he was devout. We have learned that he lived every day, looking towards the coming of Messiah. And, as well as all of that, the Holy Ghost was upon him. In other words, he was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost. We have been told that Simeon was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. No wonder then that the Holy Spirit, the author of this book, draws our attention to him with the word behold. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, and here he is. You notice the Holy Ghost didn't say, behold, there was a group of men. Neither did he say, behold, there were a few men. No, behold, there was a man. One man. This man stood out in that city where he lived as a holy, godly, Christ-like man. A man full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Filled with the Holy Ghost, even though this was some considerable time before Pentecost. That we read about in Acts 2, where the Holy Ghost came and rested upon every man, and everyone was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, here is a man even before Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost communicated with him. The Holy Ghost, we're told, communicated with him. For, we're told it was verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It was revealed unto him. Those words mean, literally, divinely communicated. Does that tell us something? How closely this man lived to the Lord. How his life, again, was taken up with the Lord. He was devout. He was sold out to God. It's as if he thought about nothing else, only Messiah, the consolation of Israel. He was looking towards his coming. What a man Simeon was. And here the Holy Ghost communicates with him and tells him, he'll not die, you'll not die, Simeon, before you see the consolation of Israel. You will see Christ before you die. That would have been most comforting to Simeon and encouraging. He had been waiting so many years of his life for that day to dawn. The Holy Ghost had revealed Christ unto him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then we read, and he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. In other words, the Spirit of God communicated with him and told him, you'll not die before you see the Messiah. And when the Holy Ghost spoke to him about Christ, he entered the temple and there was Christ. The Holy Ghost led him to Christ. And believer, when you and I study the Word, the Holy Spirit will always lead us to Christ. Always. If you turn, please, to John 15. John 15. We read in verse 26. Here's the Lord, and he's speaking about the coming Holy Spirit. John 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, that's the Holy Ghost, of course, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He'll not testify of himself. He will testify of me. He will speak about me. Now look at chapter 16 of John and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. It's clear, isn't it? That's part of the ministry of the Spirit of God to lead men and women to Christ. It was the Spirit of the Lord who led us to Christ the day we were saved. He called us with that effectual call. He led us to Christ. And when we study the Word, when we study the Bible, the Spirit of God will lead us to Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord led Simeon to Christ. The Holy Ghost was upon him and led him to the Lord. The Holy Spirit had revealed things of Christ to Simeon. And that's part of the Spirit's ministry. The Spirit-filled man. Simeon was Spirit-filled. The Spirit-filled man will always be wanting to see Christ. The Spirit-filled man will always want to live for Christ. The Spirit-filled man will always be looking to Christ. The Spirit-filled man will be deeply in love with Christ. The Spirit-filled preacher will always seek to preach Christ. He shall glorify me, the Lord said. And the life of the Spirit-filled man, Simeon, was all about Christ. He was Christ-focused. He was Christ-filled. He waited for Christ. He watched for Christ. And as we will see next week, Lord willing, he worshipped Christ. And what a wonderful story that is. Something just very special about Simeon and his worshipping of Christ. Certainly touched my own heart as I looked at it and studied it. And we'll consider it, Lord willing, next week. We'll consider today Simeon and his witness for Christ. Next week we'll look at Simeon and his worship of Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's just bow in prayer. O dear Lord, we bless thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. And how this man Simeon's life was taken up with him. Watching and waiting for the day that Messiah, the consolation of Israel, would appear. And there, lo and behold, he appeared in the temple that day. O Lord, we know the day perhaps is not far off when thou will appear again. This same Jesus shall return. Lord, I pray that everyone here will be ready for that great day when the Lord returns. Lord, write thy precious word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. We take the word with us and meditate upon it. Lord, be with us throughout this day. Keep thy hand upon us in all our troubles. In thy will, Lord, return us to thy house this evening to learn more about the Savior. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.